Defense of Humanity. I'm Al Whitney, and it's a week before Christmas Eve, and we're here tonight talking about the bankruptcy of the United States. We have a caller from Oregon by the name of Sue. Sue, how are you tonight?
Fine, Al. Thanks very much. I've been trying to figure this all out for a lot of years, but I have a question. Would the federal government have to fess up publicly why they couldn't, one, give the states back their lands that the federal government now controls, or if a state decided to separate from the United States, would they have to explain why they couldn't do that because somebody else owns it?
Well, it's hard to say. You know, I would love to see all these states secede from the federal corporation, but when I read Who's Running America, we have a couple things ongoing. They managed to get the states to sign into that bankruptcy in 1933. And then they got the states. Right now, the states are taking these birth certificates and turning them over to the Department of Commerce. And in addition, these corporate states, and they're all now corporations, are all engaged in grant contracts with the federal corporation.
Okay.
So I don't know that our states, they may be so locked into there that there's no way that they can unravel themselves.
If they did have their legislatures and their people just really hammering at the door of the federal government, maybe the federal government would do it, but the encumbrance, the debt would just go along with their separated state or their separated lands.
Well, and like right now, I mean, I've been told many times, if you look at these grant contracts, when they accept these contracts and they accept them on the state level, like Common Core, you know, and the sheriff's departments are accepting them to put together their SWAT teams, once they take the funny money and they sign the contract, if they don't perform on the contract, they have to pay the funny money back. I mean, it's really entrenched. I'm not entirely sure that any governor who says we want out would have any support at all. I don't know how much success he would have. I would love it, though. Isn't it sound good? It sounds good.
Well, it does, because I've always thought they should give back the federal lands, but this gives a this would be a definite reason the federal government would not like to see that happening, because they'd be pushed up against the wall, and I think they'd have to fess up.
Yeah. I mean, it would create a crisis. There's no question about it, because I just read how they've hypothecated so much of this land as part of this bankruptcy. So, but I know what Trafficant had to say. It's easy for us to read that and do our best to figure it out. I know what Melvin Stamper said, because I read that, and he did his best to figure it out. But none of us, in fact, one have seen that term of that bankruptcy. You know, the documents, if you're going to have a bankruptcy, there's always a contract. There's documents that spell out the terms of the bankruptcy. And even one of my consultants said he spent 6 months focused on nothing else but looking for that document and was unable to find it. So we don't know who signed it and what all they signed, you know?
And did he try to find that through FOIA?
I think he did. I think he also went into law libraries to the best of his ability.
Yeah, but, and so that we really could not be able to trace the deeds to this land. I mean, whoever holds that deed owns it.
Yeah, it was all turned over. The deal they made was, we're going to turn all this over to you, and then you're going to provide us with the currency so the people don't rebel, basically. If you read Who's Running America, which is on the website of Barefoot's World, he does a really good job of explaining what all transpired back then as well. That's another good source. But I would love to see the states secede. I think that would be fabulous.
Yeah, that would be quite a thing. But I appreciate your time with me, and I'm going to get off the phone and listen to what you got to say, because I've learned a lot tonight, and I've always loved Trafficant.
Oh, good. Me too. Me too. Wasn't he brave?
Oh, yeah. He was really stand-up.
He was. Gosh, I wish we had more like him. Okay, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thank you, Al. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh, bye-bye. All right, we have Bill from Wisconsin. Good evening, Bill. How are you?
Can you hear me?
Sure can.
Okay. I got something practical. A friend of mine a number of years ago told me that there's a phone service that gives you unlimited long distance and local calling. $45 a month. So I called the number, changed over to that company. There was no paperwork involved. Kept my number and everything. All right? And it is now almost 2017. I recently got a letter from them saying that we operate a business, which we do, a used book business. But we do not use this line for that business at all. The wife has a separate computer account and cell phone that she uses, so on and so forth. And the reason that they said was that we were a business, and in 1 month I had run up 77,000 minutes on this phone. Now, what am I doing? I'm listening to Republic Radio and some other shows on a cordless phone. You dial in a number, which I was doing this evening, listening to you, all right? And it's a long-distance call, but supposedly from an Indian reservation, and there's to be no charges involved, all right? But they said I had 7,000 minutes in 1 month, so they sent me a bill, you know, for like 500. Well, in the meantime, I looked around. I have another company that's making the same claim, unlimited long distance and so on and so forth. In the meantime, I've got an $800 bill. Now, I sent them last month the $45, which I had been doing since 2013. Then I'm going to send them one more, $45, and mark on it final payment. And then, the way I hear you talking, if they take me to local court here, what I would say is I'm a flesh and blood person and I'm not part of this corporation. So where am I going wrong?
Well, I just want to know, you obviously have a contract with them.
Well, I didn't, you know, I called and said I want phone service.
Okay. There's a contract somewhere in this, in your story, okay? There's a contract.
Well, everything.
I understand that, but you have a right to get a copy of it. If you don't have a copy, if it was me, I'd start saying, you know, you're making a claim that I question. Please send me a copy of the contract with my signature that obligates me to this transaction, you know, basically.
They don't have it because there wasn't anything written.
Okay. Well, they must have something, including a recording of your voice, to prove that something happened.
Well, I requested their phone service.
Ask them for the contract and see what they say. Start there.
Okay.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're trying to get them to behave honorably, right? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so you have to kind of unravel the onion and kind of go back to start one and saying, okay, we have a difference here. Please send me a copy of the contract that obligates me to this $7,000, to pay you $500.
Right.
Now, once you do that, don't take any more conversations with them on the phone. You're done. You want it in writing.
Okay.
That's what, from now on, if you're going to dispute this, don't talk to them on the phone.
Okay.
Try to get it all in writing, because they can say anything on the phone. And generally, they try to get you to recommit to a new deal on the phone. So anytime people are having a dispute, the first thing I tell them to do is to move it all to writing. And then see what they come up with, and then you can see where you can go from there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have to have some commitment on your part.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, a friend told me, here, you can get unlimited local and long distance. And I went for years, okay, listening to radio shows and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, you know, they send me this letter, and you've used 7,000 minutes in 1 month. And yeah, especially when the weather's bad.
Yeah, I think, was the letter signed?
That I got from them?
Uh-huh.
I'd have to look. Offhand, I don't remember.
Yeah, dig up the letter, because that's where you're going to have to track
that. I've got it. I've got the letter, but I don't have it right in front of me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I would do. I always start with getting them to prove in writing that there's this kind of a deal. Show it to
them.
Because it's all commerce. You know that. Remember?
I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it.
People don't get that when we move to a commercial script, everything moved into commerce. Everything is commerce now, because nobody can pay with money. We're all using commercial script, privately owned, I might add. So everything we're doing is in commerce, as long as we're using Federal Reserve notes.
Now, okay, should I send a letter requesting a copy of this? Should I send that other payment of $45?
I think I would withhold until I got this straightened out.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And then always when you send a letter, you always say, I'm not refusing to pay. I always say that. This is not a refusal to pay. This is, in fact, in Lawfully Yours, that'll help you compose your letter a bit. In Lawfully Yours, one of the templates we have is a letter, debt validation letter. And you could take a read at that, and that'll give you an idea of how you might want to say this. Because that's a letter asking for the validation of a debt, and that's what you're trying to do.
Okay.
Okay, good luck.
Yeah, thank you, Al.
Okay.
All right, good night.
Good night.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you and everyone else.
Yeah.
Okay, we have Gary in Ohio. Hi, Gary. Are you there?
I just wanted to ask you a question. I've been trying to figure out who was the first president of the United States. Do you know?
Why is this? How does this have anything to do with the bankruptcy of the United States?
Well, hold on, man. Just go ahead and. Do you know who the first president of the United States is?
Why are we talking about this?
Well, I just wanted to find out who it is, because that answers your whole question of why we were under, you know.
I don't have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't have a question.
Oh, well, I'm just saying, you say why we're under the, you know, under commercial law. But what I'm getting at is, if George Washington was the first president of the United States, now I'm going to ask you who was the first president of the United States of America, which was John Hanson. Okay, we're going back to the Constitution.
You know what, Gary? Gary,
yes,
I don't like to go back that far. I only like to go back to 1913.
I know, but you got to go to the organic laws to get to where we're at today.
No.
And what I was trying to get at is, once you read the organic laws, then you can figure out where commercial starts and commerce starts and where it ends. Because if you get right down to it, it's all about territory jurisdiction when you take these people to court.
Okay.
Okay.
Oops. Nope. Gary.
Absolutely.
I think I know who you're following. No, it's all about commerce. It's all about commerce and contracts and what contracts they perceive that you have. And when you signed those contracts, if you didn't restrict your signature, you signed as the artificial legal fiction person. And that's why I keep trying to get people, don't go back so far in history unless you want to do it just because you enjoy history. You need to look at 1933. Go back to 1913, if you want, when the Federal Reserve took over the whole economy of the United States. But really, it went a little haywire in 1933 when they brought in the birth certificates. We started pledging our children as a collateral for the debt without even knowing it. And in '50s, they brought in UCC in all our courts. That's what I would like people to focus on, because that's what you're going to run into if you get a ticket or if any other reason you're called into court. That's what's in those courts. That's what I want people to understand.
Jurisdiction outside the courthouse, because they're all owned by the Commissioners Association. You know, they're privately owned corporations. I get all that. Okay,
yeah.
That's just like a cop. He can only stay on that property because they're hired by the commissioners, like the sheriff, the city police. That's why when you get to a map, you can't find the city of Lancaster or the city of Columbus. You can find Columbus, and that's what I'm trying to tell you. They can do all the commercial that they want to, but they're only allowed to do that stuff on their own property.
No,
and that's
not
why
true.
You have to go back to the organic laws.
No, not true. That's not true. What you just said is not true. Because what they're going to look for is the document that you signed. They're going to look for verification that there is a contract that they can enforce. And they're going to look to see what you have presented that obligates you to their contractual system. It's not territorial. It's commercial. They're acting on you not as a living man living anywhere. They're acting against you as a legal fiction. And a legal fiction doesn't need to be on the land. The legal fiction isn't real anyway.
Yeah, yeah. But you got to get back into it. They can't just charge you because of they don't have the jurisdiction to do anything, is what I'm trying to tell you. It doesn't make no difference about the artificial person or not.
Oh, no, it does. Gary, I'm so sorry to tell you this. It's all UCC. It does. What did you sign? If people are running into difficulty, the first thing I always ask them, what did you sign? Because if you signed it, it's a contract they're going to enforce. Period. The city will enforce it. The state will enforce it. The sheriff will enforce it. They are enforcing this commercial system against your person. All the laws and statutes they write in your state legislature, in your city council, are all for the legal person. It's all UCC. It doesn't have anything to do with the land at all. Because it's all fiction. Land is real. Land is substance. They're all dealing in form.
It's public or it's private. The roads are public.
No.
Back here. Go to your city. Where are you? In Columbus. You ain't gonna tell me anything.
Okay, we're gonna take a break and we'll be back shortly.
Been on Balance of Nature for a year now. I have MS, and I recently had an MRI. This is the first year that I've had a stable MRI, so I'm thrilled. When I have an MRI with MS, usually there are glowing spots that come through, which is damage on the nerves in my brain and my spinal cord, and when they're glowing, it means they're active. And then my last MRI, they pulled it up, and I honestly couldn't believe that it was my MRI. There was nothing glowing. And in fact, the dark spots were shrinking. They were healing. And the doctor actually said to me, I think we're in remission. I was so happy. I had no idea that that could be my reality.
Call now to find out how to get your free month supply of Balance of Nature. Call 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com.
Use promo code TSL.
Hi, folks. In a world of GMO, genetically modified organisms, that is, chemicals, processed foods, and a healthcare system that's unraveling like a cheap suit, it's time to prepare. God created herbs, and herbs help man. Our body can heal itself, just sometimes we need assistance. You need some help? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Our mild detox is quite powerful with its unique blend of 8 different herbs. And if you're looking for more, our non-GMO supplements will help you with different needs you might have. Health should be a top priority. Take care of your health naturally. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Give your body a treat. Let the herbs do their thing naturally. Read all the testimonies on the website. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Sickness and viruses are like intruders, and herbs are like warriors. Let the tea work for you. That's GetTheTea.com.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We've been talking tonight about the United States bankruptcy as exposed. We've been focused on the information that Jim Traficant gave us, and he talked about it was all hypothecated. He talked about its United States corporation, and he talked about its connection to the money system. So when you start talking public and private, you're not looking at it. It's all commerce. It's all commerce. Now, either you contract with them or you don't. If you've contracted with them, they're going to compel you to perform on that contract. Even though common law requires real money for a consideration, they've changed the legal system to allow for Federal Reserve notes, security debt instruments, to be used as consideration. In fact, you can't even find what they're defining consideration. We read on one show in 1939, Fred Rodel wrote his book, Woe Unto You Lawyers. And in 1939, he said they had changed it so that there were like thousands of definitions of what they were going to call consideration. So he noticed that in 1938, I believe, when he wrote that. And that was after the bankruptcy went in place and the whole system was changed. The New Deal was inserted. So everything changed pretty much severely in 1933 when FDR brought in the New Deal. So Gary, public and private, are you alive or dead is the question, not whether you're public or private. Are you a living man or are you a dead legal fiction person? I guess Gary's not there. Okay, thanks, Kim. Okay, how about Bill from Austin? Good evening, Bill. Is Bill there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, good evening, Bill.
Merry Christmas to you all.
You too.
I have just a quick point to make, and this is about when the country was first formed. You were speaking of everything being a commercial transaction. We're in commercial law now, the law merchant, correct? What you were discussing?
Right.
Well, this country was first formed through the Virginia Company. It was colonized with a corporation back then, so this is basically just an extension. Research has also... I'm sorry, go ahead.
It is. No, you're right. I mean, people, and I don't usually argue too much, because you can go back and see signs that this was coming and they were trying to move this into this arena. But it really took a leap, and that's why I focus on 33. When they managed to get the whole birth certificate scam going, so that mothers were unwittingly pledging their children by signing a certificate of live birth from which they created a social security number. In my opinion, that's when the whole thing went real ballistic. And now we're suffering from that right now, and we're still, sadly, we've still got mothers and fathers who are having babies. No, I'm not sad that they're having babies. I'm sad that they don't realize when they sign that certificate of live birth that a legal fiction person will be created from it, and that will be weighing upon their child their whole life, unless they figure out how to get out from under it.
Right, that's correct. Well, technically, when one of those actions is done, that's called an election to become a U.S. citizen. And a U.S. citizen is of the District of Columbia, the 10-square-mile area, and also the territories of the District of Columbia, such as Puerto Rico, Guam. That's basically what you're becoming when you get into these presumptive adhesive contracts. To get out of that, you would basically have to expatriate yourself from U.S. citizenship. And they classify that as a non-resident alien is what you would be. You would actually be a citizen of the 50 states with what you were born into. But you have to go through a revocation of election. You have to reverse your election that you're a U.S. citizen into the fictional commerce world.
Have you read our condition precedent?
Pertaining to what?
Okay. Well, we'll talk about condition precedent when we get back.
Tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org. Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Thank you.
right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Welcome back to In Defense of Humanity. I think what you were talking about, let me read this from the UCC Article 1, Section 1-206 on presumptions. Whenever the Uniform Commercial Code creates a presumption with respect to a fact or provides that a fact is presumed, the trier of fact must find the existence of the fact unless and until evidence is introduced that supports a finding of its non-existence. In response to that, a group of us have gotten together and created what we call a notice of condition precedent. You can go to my website, anticorruptionsociety.com. We've talked quite a bit about it on the show. And look at the tabs at the top, and one of them says Notice of Condition Precedent. And in that notice, we put down for the record and we publish the fact that we are A, not a U.S. citizen, and B, a living flesh and blood woman or man. And we do so under the authority of the executive order by Bill Clinton from 1999. That way, no one considers us a sovereign citizen. We're not saying this has anything to do with public or private. It has to do with the fact that we're not a U.S. citizen, which today is an enemy of the state. We talked about that. If you're a U.S. citizen, you are officially an enemy of the state. So we killed those presumptions in that short document. And I think that's kind of what you're talking about, isn't it?
Bill. Actually, under, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes, it's along the same lines, but I'm actually talking about the 26 United States Code, Section 6013, where you actually make an election of a revocation to terminate your U.S. citizenship. And then they classify you as non-resident alien when you're born in one of the 50 states, and then you have your God-given constitutional rights once again because
No, that doesn't work. No. The Constitution is not the law of the land. There are no God-given constitutional rights. The Constitution has been suspended. Everybody needs to hear that. Traficant said that. I don't care what you do, you're not going to get constitutional rights. It has been suspended. It was suspended in 1933. What we have now is not a constitutional republic. It's a corporation functioning under UCC. And that has been going on since 33. So you have no constitutional rights, none.
Right, you're exactly right. I was just making a use of it, euphemism, when I said your God-given constitutional type rights, because that's what the way everybody sees it. you have God-given rights. You don't have constitutional rights. The Constitution was to limit the government, not give you rights.
Well, and this really isn't about rights either, I might add. It's about whether or not you're going to wear the mask of being a dead legal fiction obligated to the UCC because you're using Federal Reserve notes, or whether you are going to declare yourself a living man who is also not an enemy of the state, which is what being a United States citizen is. It is the same thing as an enemy of the state. That was done, Trading with the Enemy Act 1933. That was part of the scam. That's why they require you get a license for everything, because you're considered to be an enemy of the state. So I think you're very, very close. Maybe we just have a difference in terminology.
Yes. What would you consider, like, someone that follows your procedure? What would they be classified as by the government? Would it be a resident alien, non-resident alien?
I don't have to. And someone asked me that, well, then what jurisdiction are you under? My answer to that question is now and will always be, what are my choices? Okay? Because this commercial fiction has a whole bunch of definitions we know nothing about, and we can so unwittingly walk into one of their definitions. And we ran a clip of a courtroom fiasco with a judge, John Hurley, and a gentleman by the name of David Hall. And the judge was trying to get him to declare his category. What are you? Are you an agent? Are you an individual? Are you a person? And he tricked him so that when the whole thing was over, the judge managed to get on the record 33 times that David Hall was a person. And sadly, David did not object every single time. That's why these courts are such traps. I don't declare myself anything. I don't have to. All I have to do is get out from under the status of being an enemy of the state, which is a U.S. citizen, and resurrect myself to the living. And then you're not in their jurisdiction, because there's no jurisdiction right now in our courts to accommodate the living. They've all been transformed into UCC.
And this would hold true for income tax, basically, as well?
If people want to fight the income tax, I suggest, you know, they think long and hard about it. There is a guy by the name of John Trowbridge who has a Supreme Court hearing, or he thinks he's got them, and he's been fighting them for 10 years, and they've already taken his property. And he got them when he asked, define what a U.S. citizen is, and they couldn't do it. They would not define what a U.S. citizen is. And the reason is because you have to volunteer to be one. They don't have a definition for what a U.S. citizen is in their courts. You have to volunteer. So they trick you, you know, if you're in their court and you say, if they say, are you a registered voter? Well, then you volunteered, didn't you?
Okay.
So you have to get rid of the voter's registration. You're absolutely right. And we have that on that page. Take a look at it and see what you think, because we have that on that page. Part of the process is canceling voter registration.
Okay.
Yeah.
I brought up last week about the Clearfield Doctrine, Clearfield Trust Company. Did you get a chance to look at that?
Oh, yeah. We've talked about that on the show, and I have that on my website.
Okay, great, great.
Yeah, that's part of it, because Clearfield Doctrine states specifically that they're using private commercial script. And therefore, they're obligated to produce a contract, and that's what we talk about all the time. What contract are they trying to enforce? What have we signed? So, thanks, Bill. I think you're almost there. Take a look. I think you might like that page on Notice of Condition Precedent. I think it's a simpler way to do it, and I don't think it's risky. Because you can once you get it done, you can use it whenever you're ready, whenever you want to. Meanwhile, you've got it in your hot little hands, ready to go. And it's done under the authority of the president, CEO of the USA. So they can't claim that that's rebellion either, because you're doing it under his authority. So take a look and see what you think.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, thank you. Okay, we have Mike. Mike, are you there?
Greetings, Al.
Hi.
I think it would be a Merry Christmas to you.
Okay, you too.
I think it would be a good thing for us to start using the proper terms instead of calling this the government, which we all know it's not a government, it's a corporation posing as government. And as the Clearfield Doctrine, the bonds, and all those others recognize that, you know, you lay down your sovereignty when you become a corporation. It can't be sovereign. It certainly isn't a government of ours. We don't know what it is. I would just call it a corporation, if nothing else. And like you referred to the bankruptcy, you've been talking about that. I would not call it a bankruptcy because I didn't go bankrupt. My ancestors didn't go bankrupt. It was a bank robbery. It's where the banks robbed we, the people, of the gold. Was it not?
Well, no, it's really, you know, one of the things they did, and it, they've done it across the planet, you know, is that it's almost impossible for them to bankrupt a sovereign government because a sovereign government can print their own currency. And this country couldn't have been bankrupt because we had too many resources. Okay? So how do they steal it all? Well, what they do is they create the corporation. A corporation can go bankrupt. And what they did is once they put in the Federal Reserve, they turned the Treasury over to the private Federal Reserve. I talked about that, I believe, last Tuesday on John's show.
We've got all that, but that's the point. It's a bank robbery. They created the scenario to rob the trust, rob the people. All the stuff that they are claiming is theirs, that's through fraud. That is nothing but a fraud.
No, Mike, they didn't rob the people at that time. They pillaged the Treasury. Okay?
And the Treasury bankrupted was the
that. They bankrupted that corporation. And they did indeed bankrupt that corporation between the war debt and their pillaging of the Treasury. That corporation was indeed bankrupt. Now, what they did to get out of the mess and the pickle they were in is they stole, and that's where you and I would totally agree, they assigned the people and the land as collateral for the new currency called the Federal Reserve Note without our knowledge or permission. In their world, they think they stole it all fair and square. In their world.
All right, and you talked about earlier about this supremacy of contract law over our God-given rights. But see, that's just somebody's opinion. That's their matrix. But we don't have to buy that crap. We really don't. That's just someone else's opinion.
Nope. What did you sign?
I didn't sign anything.
Okay, if you signed to register your car, you signed a contract. If you signed to put your child in school, you signed a contract. If you signed to get a driver's license, you signed a contract. If you signed to get a bank account using Federal Reserve notes, you signed a contract. It's not opinion. There is a signature somewhere. That's what I was trying to tell
you. Where did you sign saying that you're consenting to contract law over your God-given rights? Nowhere. Neither did I. That's what I'm saying.
It doesn't have to be there. That's, Mike, that's where the presumption comes in. That's why this thing is...
It's a fraud. Al, it is a fraud, and you're living their fraud. You're jumping through hoops for their fraud. That's my concern.
Okay. Okay, Mike. Now, I'm glad you're bringing this up because this needs to be clarified, okay? You're defining fraud differently than the UCC defines fraud. I just read to the listeners this presumption. The presumption remains in their world unless there is evidence that it's not true. Now, this is the UCC legal fiction land that we are now living in. If we stand on the street corner and call it a fraud, that will not spare us because they will just bring up a contract that you signed. This is why we are telling people to sign without prejudice. again, they're in the world of fiction, the legal of contracts. And I read to you how their world works, but we're not going to get anywhere until we rebut the presumption that keeps this thing in place. We can't do that unless we understand that it is presumption that they're using. And I read this in Melvin Stamper. We read the UCC on presumption. There's no, did you sign the contract? And that's what you will find they're going to do. They're not considering you signing a contract as fraud. They're considering that your consent. Now, they don't have a rule against fraudulent contracts. And I read that on another show, and I demonstrated that my bank gave me a renewal contract, and right on it, it said there's terms and conditions we're not disclosing. But if you want to keep your account, that means you're going to abide by these terms and conditions that we aren't disclosing. That is not fraud because I accepted their offer. Now, they can say, but you agreed to keep your account open. Therefore, you accepted the terms of that contract. That's why I'm stating they're not going to fit into the category of fraud. It is presumption. It is deception. And that's why we have to figure out how it is it doesn't apply to living flesh and blood men and women and put it on the record without prejudice.
Al, I would recommend trying to restrict your signature when you're arrested and try to get this in. Well, when they're starving you and beating you to death and the jailer's tearing up everything that you autograph because it's not the way they want it. So they force you into putting a signature the way they want it on a piece of paper under threat, duress, and coercion. Would you call that a valid contract?
No, that's not a valid contract. However, sadly, because they know that they're tricking you, they won't let you put under coercion on that contract, will they?
It's not a trick. When you've been beaten half to death and you're starved to death and you're on the verge of death, that's not your signature. That's just like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed confessing to killing Lincoln
and John F. Kennedy and everybody else. Mike, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that this is acceptable. I'm not saying this is acceptable. I am saying you see now by their response how important it is that they get that signature without any restrictions. That demonstrates what we're trying to say. They want you in that contract without any restrictions. Now, did they use severe treatment of you? Yes. Is that okay at any level? No. But what it did do is it demonstrated how important it is that they get our signatures on these agreements. Now, if you continue down this path and go proceed with condition precedent, you've got on the record prior to any signature that you've already made this declaration. At a later date, you can resurrect that and use it. But again, we have no control over if this sheriff is going to abuse people in his custody. And right now, it's happening everywhere.
We have the power. We just have to stand up and take responsibility and flex that power. People that sit around and talk this to death that never have the nerve to stand up to tyrants, unless there was 4,000 veterans at Standing Rock, those Indians would still be out there getting sprayed with water tonight.
Yes, I do agree. But at some level, we've still got to understand that we're consenting to this. Okay, we've got another caller, and we're getting near the end of the show. Thank you, Mike. Mark from Philly, we have a couple minutes. We're going to break. When we get back, if you could kind of make it quick, I want to kind of make an announcement before the end of the show.
Sure.
Are Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Only a fool would go to a plumber for brain surgery. But otherwise intelligent people use internet searches to find such gems as Lee Harvey Oswald killed JFK with 3 shots from the rear and 1 shot from the front. They get similar financial guidance when they are investigating cryptocurrencies. RBN listeners know that American currency has not been lawful money for nearly 50 years since the thieves at the Fed stole the silver out of the coins and began reneging on redeemable notes in 1968. Now that the dollar has just about inflated totally away and banks want reverse interest to keep your books, the high-tech world has brought you an alternative. What if you could buy, sell, and trade with fellow business people from your home with zero bank fees? If you believe banking tyranny must end, then join the digital currency movement now. Call investigative journalist Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
A few minutes. We have Mark from Philly. Mark, maybe if you could keep it to 1 minute because I wanted to make an announcement before the show's over.
Okay, sure. I appreciate very much what you're doing there, Al. I've went to your website recently after listening to your show that you set in for John Statmiller. And anyway, I appreciate that you've updated your site, and I've read much of your site. And here's the thing. I do feel Mike's, your previous caller's pain. I myself have been through that. My family's been through that kind of thing, and I could go deeper than that. And I will seek to communicate with you via your email address. I find it on your site. The question is, this notice of condition precedent, has it been tested? Has it been tested? Have we prevailed against them with this idea? And specifically, I would like to ask you, as an example, if a person goes in to buy a firearm, they have to fill out a form if they go to a dealer. Most states, well, all states, have to, if they buy a brand new gun, they have to go to a dealer, and they have to fill out a 4473 form. And when they fill that out, there's a few questions there that kind of are like leave it open that, you know, if you don't have any serious charges, you know, you feel like you're good to go. But here's the thing. In these courts across the country, there can be clerical errors. So if there was a clerical error on somebody's record, let's say they had a minor offense, and there was a clerical error where the court, whoever the court entered it in incorrectly, that could be a serious error. Okay, but yet if you fill out that form and you answer you're good to go, you know, like you have no serious charges against you, and you sign it, you've just perjured yourself. So the question is, and that's a felony, and then you wouldn't be able to get a gun in the future, okay? So the question is, I have a question for you on that. If you know, and you don't have to answer me now unless you know, has anybody used this without prejudice on a federal form, like a 4473,
and have I don't know what the 4473 is, and yes, a lot of people have used without prejudice on a lot of different forms. I don't have time to go into it. If you'd like to read lawfully yours and read about the condition precedent, you'll get an idea how this commercial system is working. And you do have the right to put without prejudice on these documents. You have to know how to exert that right, though, and that is something that we will talk about in a future show. Okay. But thank you for calling
in. I'll email with you some specifics. Thank you.
Okay. I wanted to stop to mention before the show's over that next Saturday night, Christmas Eve, John is going to play an audio recording of the famous story, A Christmas Carol, by Charles Dickens. I have spent the day doing a little more research, and this is an amazing story. When he wrote this story in 1843, he was responding to what he could witness was desperate conditions in London at the time. And at the time, according to Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, the central bankers had just created another boom and bust, and the people were incredibly poor. Okay, they do this, and that's what caused the Great Depression. They create these artificial booms and busts, and when the bust comes, there's no jobs. But that's what Dickens was responding to, and I hope you listen to it. It's beautiful. No one can say this man wasn't the most amazing writer. And thanks, John, for putting this on for everybody's enjoyment on Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas, people. I will be back in 2 weeks.
Or someone you know suffer from chest pain.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman Mobile Marketing App, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsupport.com and learn how you can earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsupport.com.
But don't stop, it's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.